Good afternoon, everyone. I'm going to call the committee, the House Committee on Rules, to order for Thursday, June 15th, 2017. So, colleagues, I know my Republican colleagues are out of here at 3:30, so we're going to move through this pretty quickly. We are not working today, 3463 or 86. We have Senate Bill 86. We don't have paperwork. So I am going to first open a work session on Senate Bill 208B.
And Madam Chair, members of the committee, Senate Bill 208B prohibits school district from denying homeschool or public charter school student opportunity to participate in all interscholastic activities available in school district within attendance boundaries. We have a dash B11 amendment. The B11 amendment adds an emergency clause to the measure so that students this fall can participate in interscholastic activities. And you have a indeterminate fiscal statement on the B11 and a no revenue impact statement.
Great, thank you.
Madam Chair, I move the B11 amendment to Senate Bill 208B.
Representative Kenemer has moved the B11 amendment to Senate Bill 208B. Is there any discussion? Are there any objections? Motion passes.
Madam Chair, I move Senate Bill 208B to the floor with the due pass as amended recommendation.
Representative Kenemer has moved Senate Bill 208B to the floor with the due pass as amended recommendation. Is there any discussion? Are there any objections? Motion passes. Carrier will be Representative Doherty. Close that work session. So we will open a public hearing on Senate Bill 333B.
And Madam Chair, members of the committee, Senate Bill 333B directs Oregon Business Development Department to obtain employment and wage information for eligible employer at regionally significant industrial site and determine annual amount of estimated incremental income, tax revenues generated by eligible employer per year. It requires the Oregon Business Development Department request the Oregon Department of Revenue.
We're not working.
Request that Oregon Department of Administrative Services certify amounts determined to be estimated in incremental income tax revenues. It requires the Oregon Business Development Department consult with Oregon Department of Revenue in establishing and administering Oregon Industrial Site Readiness Program. Takes effect 91st day after signing by. And it's Rocky, Catherine Williams.
Rocky, are you on this one?
Mm-hmm.
Come on up.
Here it is.
Oh, we lost the sheet for a second. So everyone, come on up.
That is it.
There you go. All right. Thank you. Welcome.
Go.
Ready, go.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the committee. My name is Randy Tucker. I'm the Legislative Affairs Manager for Metro. And I'm here to urge your support for Senate Bill 333 and briefly explain where it comes from. Those of you that have been around for a few years may remember in 2013, many of us came forward and asked the legislature to pass legislation, which you did, to establish the Oregon Industrial Site Readiness Program. And the problem at that time that we identified is that there are many industrial sites around the state, including many in densely populated urban areas that are large and could potentially host industrial jobs, traded sector industrial jobs, but there are barriers to to actually constructing the industrial facility because either there's an infrastructure deficit or there's a brownfield. You have site aggregation issues at sometimes sites in multiple ownerships, et cetera. And if we can overcome these barriers, we can create jobs, we can create tax revenues for the state and property tax revenues for the local government. So we established this program, you established this program, and it has not been implemented yet because of some technical problems in the underlying legislation that was passed in 2013, and so this legislation today is just to try to fix those problems. And I'll just identify a couple of them for you, and we'll be happy to answer questions about the bill if you like. I know you've spoken to my colleagues in the lead up to this hearing. The most important problems that we're trying to fix are to eliminate the requirements on employers, since the arrangement here is between a local project sponsor, which is a public entity, a city or county generally, and the state. The employer is not part of that agreement and doesn't get any benefit from the agreement. The benefit would flow from the state to the local government. And so we're trying to make sure there are no requirements on the company to do a bunch of reporting and a bunch of paperwork for no benefit to them. And so the only issue there is being able to get wage information, and we've arranged with the agency ways to do that. We've added some job creation thresholds to make sure that there are enough jobs to make this worthwhile. The job creation thresholds are lower in rural areas than in urban areas of the state. We've also kind of accelerated the timetable for a local project sponsor to be able to recover some of the costs that they incur in addressing the barriers to development on these industrial sites. And with that, I'll just stop. And we're happy to answer any questions. But again, this is legislation that just is some fixes to something that you've previously passed.
Catherine Araki. Go.
Chair Williamson, just ditto from the Port of Portland. Catherine Williams, State Affairs Manager from the Port of Portland, member of the Industrial Lands Coalition, and as one of those local sponsors who's bringing industrial lands online and can tell you it's expensive and challenging but worth it at the end, these fixes will help the program, and so we support it and urge you to do so. Thanks.
Thank you.
Madam Chair, Rocky Dahl, I'm here for the Oregon Economic Development Association, and ditto to the port's ditto. OEDA is a statewide organization. We have economic development professionals in public and private organizations throughout the state, and this is important for our folks, both the rural, the folks in the metro area, and then folks throughout the state, and how we can get sites, whether they be wetlands, brownfields, the issues Randy raised, into productive use, especially in the rural parts of the state where these traded sector jobs are really sometimes the best job in these communities, and sometimes just the barriers, having a site that someone can come and plug into that infrastructure and either expand or put new jobs. So we've been working a long time. We've helped coordinate the coalition, which includes not just Port and Metro, but a number of organizations from Thousand Friends to NAOP to the business organizations and other members of OEDA. So we would just ask if that you guys would move the bill and we can make these fixes this session. So thank you.
Great. Thank you.
I guess I'll just add that you do have some written testimony, which is a letter that we distributed in the Senate that has a bunch of logos of many of the supporters that have been part of this effort.
Excellent. Questions for this panel? Representative Barreto.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So just one question on the wages, on the average wage, 150%. Does it take in benefits, too, or is it just wage? This was
Madam Chair, Representative Barreto, that was a change we made in the Senate, actually, to just have it be based on wage, because otherwise you'd have to go to the company and find out a bunch of information about their benefits.
Right.
It's another kind of barrier to getting this done. That was a late catch by Business Oregon. They looked at it and went, yikes, this is not going to work.
Yeah,
And we're trying to basically reduce the burden on the employers and make this a transaction between the public entities.
Great.
Good, thank you.
Representative Holby.
Thank you. I'm just curious, does the Oregon Business Development Department determine what the regional significant sites, industrial sites are? I mean, who makes a determination of which ones are regionally significant?
Do you remember how that works? I believe it's there's a process that was established under Senate Bill
766.
Is that right? In 2011?
2013.
No, because this was 2013. Okay. So it was 2011, and there's an established process in state law for doing that.
Who's responsible for doing that?
Chair Williamson, Representative Holley. It's an industrial site certification, and Business Oregon is involved. There may be others as well, but they are absolutely involved.
Okay. As I recall,
and I don't know if there's anybody from the department here.
No, as I recall, there were multiple agencies that had three, but I'd have to get back to you later.
Somebody actually does
yes.
determine that, though.
And there's an alternative way that it happens that is also in the legislation here. In the metro area, we also have a map of identified regionally significant industrial areas, and those are also identified in this bill and in the predecessor to this bill as eligible for this program.
Any additional questions? All right. Thank you very much. That I'm going to close the public hearing on Senate Bill 333B. I will open a work session on Senate Bill 333B.
Madam Chair, I move Senate Bill 333 to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Representative Kennemer has moved Senate Bill 333B to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion? Are there any objections? Motion carries. Would anyone like to carry this? Representative Barreto, you want to carry this?
Sure.
Excellent. Thank you. I'm going to close that work session. I will. So 44 now?
44 and 43.
All right. I'm going to open a public hearing on Senate Bill 43A and Senate Bill 44.
And Madam Chair, members of the committee, Senate Bill 43 revises and clarifies circumstances when individuals, including public officials and elected public officials, must register as lobbyists with Oregon Government Ethics Commission, requires public official who is positioned with public body and whose written job description includes lobbying, spends aggregate amount of more than 24 hours lobbying or $100 lobbying legislative or executive officials to register with the Oregon Government Ethics Commission, specifically exempts from registration requirements people who meet with legislator or in personal capacity, remove sunset on lobbyist exemption on reporting to Oregon Government Ethics Commission money spent on lobbying other registered lobbyists. There is an emergency clause on the measure. Senate Bill 44 permits executive director of the Oregon Government Ethics Commission to designate Oregon Government Ethics Commission employee to fulfill any duty or responsibility of the director.
Do you have anyone signed up? Oh, yeah, come on up.
Not this late in session.
You're welcome. Go ahead.
Chair, members of the committee, my name is Ron Burson. I'm the executive director for the Oregon Government Ethics Commission. I appreciate having us in today. Ms. Shepherd, she's going to talk about Senate Bill 43.
Hi. Good afternoon, Chair Williams and members of the committee. My name is Marie Sheffers. I'm the Compliance and Education Coordinator with the Oregon Government Ethics Commission. And I'm here to talk to you a little bit about Senate Bill 43 as amended there through the Senate. We worked pretty hard with Senator Boquist and came out with a bill that passed with bipartisan support in the Senate to clarify that the requirement to register as a lobbyist for some of the people who are here in the building every day, that includes state agency employees who are lobbyists, and sometimes representatives of public or private entities. The statute, the lobbying statute, talks about three different ways a person can be a lobbyist. One is that you're a contract lobbyist, so you agree to provide personal services for money or other consideration. The second is that you are a representative of a public or private entity who is providing personal services for lobbying. And the third is that you are a public official who lobbies. Now, the registration requirements in the past have been, as soon as you agree to be a contract lobbyist, you have to register as a lobbyist. If you're the other two kinds of lobbyist, you're not required to register until you reach 24 hours or spend $100 in a calendar quarter. And so what we're trying to clarify is that if you accept a job with some state agency and your title is legislative coordinator and you're in this building every day during the legislative session, you have to register as a lobbyist right away. You don't wait until you meet the 24-hour or $100 threshold. So we spent quite a bit of time dealing with some of the concerns about accidentally wrapping in too many people, for example, individuals who come in their personal capacity, not as a representative of some sort of organization. Those people are not lobbyists. Obviously, citizens have a right to come to their legislature and talk to their elected officials. We also clarified that if you are an elected official from a local government body or a special government body and you come to represent your constituents here at the Capitol and talk to your elected representatives, you are also, you don't meet the definition of a lobbyist, you also don't have to register. So we spent some time over on the Senate side clarifying some of those things and getting to the point, which is that if you are a lobbyist for a state agency, if you are a lobbyist for a public or private entity, you do register immediately within 3 days in the same manner as if you become a contract lobbyist.
How do you define within a state agency who is a lobbyist? Is it based on job description?
It is based on job description. So what we ended up with in the language is a person who holds a position, a public official serving a public body who holds a position with a written job description that includes lobbying.
Questions on this one? All right.
Oh, I got one.
Oh, you got one. Representative Holvey.
So do you have a definition of exactly what lobbying is?
Chair Williamson, Representative Colby, there is a definition of what lobbying is, and that is defined in statute. I didn't bring my statute book with me.
Yeah, it's in the statute.
I was just trying to stump you.
Oh, it's generally trying to influence legislative or executive officials to move legislation. That's the shorthand answer.
Thank you.
Any other questions on Senate Bill 43A? All right. I'm actually going to close the public hearing on Senate Bill 43A, and we're still in 44.
Want to do 44 now?
Yep, want to do 44 now.
Again, my name is Ron Burson. I'm the executive director, and this bill is for me. So I appreciate it. So when the governor passed some legislation in the last session, there was a few governor's bills that had to do with the Ethics Commission. It required a lot of closing those statutory timelines with my signature. Mm-hmm. And that works fine as long as I'm available. There are times that I'm not. In fact, the first year I was on a sheep hunt down in southeastern Oregon and doing preliminary review reports on top of the Pueblo Mountains down there. Thank God for Verizon coverage down there. But what we're asking here is in my absence, either by illness or out on vacation or what other gets me out of the office and I'm not available, that I can designate an employee to go ahead and sign that and meet the statutory requirements on the deadline. The responsibility still lies with the executive director, but I just think that the bill got down to one person moving, you know, these either advice or investigations forward, and I don't think we thought about kind of a backup person. So I'm asking for a backup person.
Excellent.
So we can meet those statutory deadlines.
Well, we do want you to be able to go on vacation at some point.
Well, I appreciate that.
Questions? Representative Rada.
Is that the only sheep hunt you'll ever get in your life?
You know, I looked at the results today, and it was not my tag, by the way, 45 years in a row without a bighorn sheep tag. Yeah. So I don't think I'm the record, but I'm definitely getting up there in years. But it's an amazing animal that we have here in the state. So.
Any other questions or comments? All right. Thank you very much. I will close the public hearing on Senate Bill 44. I'm going to open a work session on Senate Bill 44.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I move Senate Bill 44 to the floor with the due pass recommendation.
Representative Kenemer moves Senate Bill 44 to the floor with the due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion? Are there any objections? Motion passes. Who would like to carry that? Representative Kenemer. I will close the work session. And colleagues, we are not ready to move 43A.
And Madam Chair, members of the committee, that does complete our work for the day.
All right. Thank you all very much.
Work for the day.
All right. Thank you all very much.
Members of the committee, that does complete our